Blog Talk Radio.
Alaska Patriot Network. I'm Dahl. I'm your host. We'll be joined here by Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann show. You can find that right here at Blog Talk Radio, Sunday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. And it's a great show. I co-host with Lori Ann. Speaking of great shows, we have a great show lined up for everybody tonight, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in. If you don't catch the live broadcast or you can't stay for the whole live broadcast, you can always catch it later at the same link. So you can find me at Facebook at Dahl Arntzen, at Facebook, Dahl Arntzen at Twitter. We have an Alaska Patriot Network page. Please like that and follow it. And there's some great content on there. And speaking of great content, I have posted all the links for the media that will be playing tonight on that site. So Alaska Patriot Network at Facebook. So while we get settled in here, Lori Ann and I respectively in the studio, the digital studio, I would like to welcome you guys to go refresh your drink, stoke the fire, let the dog in, out, do whatever you got to do, because you do not want to miss 1 minute of tonight's show.
Doctor says my blood pressure's down, and it's been that way since you skipped town. And I know you thought you're leaving, but make me feel like screaming. But baby, I ain't even stressing out. I bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry. But girl, I ain't even getting mad, 'cause I've been getting laid back. Baby, you should know that I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, and it's on a need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. Used to have these headaches all day long, but it's disappeared since you've been gone. And that girl next door, she sees it, loves how I'm taking it easy, blows kisses at me while I'm on my lawn. Bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but I've been getting luckier than that. I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on a DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, but that's on a need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. I've been getting laid back. Busy getting laid back. Got a girl that keeps it real, but that's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back, busy getting laid back. Keep getting lucky, getting laid.
Well, I could tell you about him cheating and how I stood there while she was screaming out his name beneath my Egyptian cotton sheets. And I could tell you how she's much younger and how she lies and tells him he's a good lover. How the dolphin on her back looks more like a manatee.
And welcome back. So great to be here with everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is Alaska Patriot Network, and we're happy you joined us. We have Lori Ann, who's going to be here in just a second joining us. And if you would like to call in and join the show, join the discussion, actually, live broadcast, the call-in number is 515-602-9722. 515-9722 and press number 1. And doing that lets me know that you're ready. It puts a little hand up in the studio and lets me know you want to join the show too. And, you know, if you're catching up late to the discussion or something, we're always happy to backtrack a discussion and you know, listen to your point of view. That's what talk radio is about. Chat is open, so please go ahead and log into the Blog Talk Radio chat if you feel more comfortable doing that. And, It will keep you anonymous on there, read your comments out on air, or you can join discussion by via chat. I know some people prefer chat, and that is cool. So welcome everybody who has logged into chat. And like I said, if you want to call in, join the conversation, 515-602-9722, and press lucky number 1. A shout out to our veterans and our active service members. This time of year is hard to be apart from your loved ones while you're serving your country, and or, you know, just to be a veteran is to be revered. And that's not lost on Lorianne or myself. And I just want to give a huge thank you for your service and your dedication and your sacrifices to this country. Without that, this broadcast would not be happening. The infringement upon our constitutional rights are constantly a threat, not only abroad, but here at home. And I just want to thank you for fighting for us and, you know, making these sacrifices, being far from your family. If you know somebody that has served or is active duty and or their family, reach out to them and wish them well this holiday season, because it means a lot to them. You know, not only the service members, but their families. Their families make a huge sacrifice too. And speaking of, tomorrow is National Wreath Laying Day here in the United States. And, you know, I meant to pull this up, and I'm just saying this like from memory, but yeah, it's a great day to go and take a stroll through those veteran cemeteries where the wreaths are laid. I know Sitka has the beautiful, they just redid the veteran cemetery there, and spent a lot of time and money and thought and put together a beautiful tribute to our veterans. So that, you know, is something that you can find in most communities, not all communities, like the rural communities in Alaska, but if you are out and about, lay some boughs. So with that said, I always get a little weepy when I think about our veterans, Lorianne. And it's such a hard time of year to be a part
I
of
know
family.
You do.
It just, I mean, I'm just so grateful. I'm just so grateful for the sacrifice. And it is, it's what makes this country great, is that volunteered sacrifice. This isn't some, not saying drafts haven't happened. They've happened, and it is what it is. But aside from that, I don't, you know, I've never met a veteran that has, regardless of how they came to service, was not proud of their service and happy to, you know, support our freedom here at home. And I think tonight's show, that maybe I'm emotional because of that, because tonight's show is, I wanted to talk about what transpired at Twitter. And not only Twitter, but other social media platforms, and so, in fact, including Parler or Parlay. And, you know, people say it differently. I'm not going to, you know, spar on words, Parler, Parlay, whatever you want to say. But that one just flat got shut down. And we know now with the information we're hearing trickling out from the Twitter media giant, that very well could have been the government doing that action as well. So tonight we're going to discuss this. This isn't just about social media. What's important here is the government interference of our free voices. And it actually, you know, it goes against our constitutional civil rights. And we're going to go into that in depth tonight. And we will probably go, Lorianne, can you please contain yourself? We will probably go into overtime tonight, guys. Only because...
Oh, my gosh. Yay!
Only
so
because
cheesy,
there's
though.
So much...
When it's like 5 minutes before the live broadcast ends, you'll be like, oh, I'm tired. I'm going to hang up now.
Well, I've been putting in a lot of hours, like manual labor hours, and it is it's taxing. It just saps everything out of me. So, but with that said, we have a ton of content tonight that not only we're going to discuss, but we are going to play some clips. I'm not a huge fan of the longer clips, folks. Lorianne, and I know you're really busy and probably didn't have a chance to edit out some of the Facts Matter advertising stuff.
Yeah, they do it right in the middle, too. It'd be a lot easier to cut it if they did it, like, you know, at the beginning or the end. But, it's like, we don't, you know, sometime in the middle of it, he puts in his ads. And so that makes it a little bit more of a challenge. I apologize, but you'll have to deal with the ads in the middle.
Yeah, and, you know, that is a double-edged sword because when these content creators or, media, reputable, media providers put out stuff, they put a lot of manpower, time, and money into that. So it does not really begrudge me, and I hope it doesn't begrudge you guys to have to listen to these inconvenient clips or ads within the clips. Because the Facts Matter one is, we're going to lead off tonight's discussion with that because there's so much information in there that Lorianne and I, we could put it together, but it would have taken us days to put, and I'm sure it took them days to put this together. But it lays out what happened. And people go, well, what's Twitter have to do with me? Or what's these social media giants have to do with me? I'm not even on social media. Well, what happened, it was government interference in information and or suppression of people's constitutional First Amendment rights, their freedom of speech. Whether it was saying, we all know that COVID is a, biological weapon, and it was released intentionally. Boom, you get censored, you get shut down, or election misinformation, blah, blah, blah. The fact that the government officials directed the suppression of this information is dangerous. Whether you participate or not in social media. I know a lot of people pride themselves in not having social media accounts. I totally could, whatever. That's cool. I'm totally cool with that, of course, whatever, you want to do. But they will come after your free speech some way, too. And this is important. I think Lorianne, and I don't want to, be a Bogart here with the mic, but I think that the timing and the nature of the suppression makes it even that more alarming and negligible. Any suppression is alarming and negligible. But the timing and the type of information and the people's voices that were suppressed. Some of them were, medical professionals, high-ranking government officials, including the sitting president of the United States. Like him or not, Donald J. Trump, the sitting president of the United States. And the information that we're receiving and trickling through reputable, sources and the, revelation of this collusion by the government, like I said, the timing of it, the events during COVID, heated, very important elections, suppression of the laptop, blah, 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 blah. I am at, I'm at the juncture that they couldn't, it's too hard for them to come to door to door and take your guns and infringe on your 2A. So they went for your 1A. They went for your voice. And that is just as suppressing and concerning. Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, it's one thing if social media or whatever is doing their own thing, you know, me being a libertarian, it's like, hey, it's, you know, your company, you do with it what you will, you know, so long as it's legal, of course. But when the government gets involved, when the government is, when you not only are ordered by the government, but you willingly work with our government to determine what is and is not misinformation, quote unquote, sarcastic. when you allow your company or you encourage your company to allow the government to do that, then you are no longer a private company. You are literally an arm of our government, a propaganda arm of our government. And that's where you draw the line. When you infringe on our First Amendment rights, when you restrict information because it doesn't follow the narrative, it doesn't follow the propaganda that you're pushing, you know, that's where that line is drawn. I think it's criminal. I think it's unconstitutional. I would love to see, like, the Google files come out. How much is Google? Like, even if you're not on social media, the chances are you probably use Google search, you know? And so I wonder how much Google is working with the government with the same type of censorship when it comes to your search results. How they, you know, we all know Google censors search results. But are they doing so in cooperation with our own government? That's what I'd like to know as well. And I would be,
Lorianne,
almost willing to bet that they do.
And they do, Lorianne, and they did it under the guise of fear. And it's to keep you safe, just like the mask, just like the jab. They use the Patriot Act to do that. You can't even check something out from the library, your local library, without that information being accessible through the Patriot Act. And that goes to show you that people, you have to, this is a nonpartisan issue. It was a Republican who pushed through the Patriot Act. This is a one world issue. This is happening in China. I mean, you know, kind of going off the rails, but, you know, the censorship and whatnot. New Zealand's got some crazy crap going on there. And they started pulling that during, they started showing their true relationship with the Communist Party of China during COVID. But what we're seeing is not something we can vote our way out of. This is not a Republican thing. It's not a Trumplican thing. It's not a libertarian or a left thing. This government overreach started, sadly, you know, a long time ago with the Patriot Act. But people, and they used fear to do that. They used fear. People were scared. They had no idea what was going on. They thought, you know, Obama, he was around every corner. But
Obama,
you know, Osama bin Laden, Obama, yeah. Ah! No, but seriously, right around every corner. They used fear to control you. They tried to control us. But not all of us could be controlled. However, they used fear to muzzle them, shut down your churches, shut down your family businesses. Was Walmart closed? No, it's essential. Was your mom and pop corner store closed or your jewelry shop or your delicatessen or whatever, hell yeah, it was closed. Because there is a war on families. There is a war on people that are working.
There's a war on small business. There's a war on small farmers.
Owned businesses. There is, this is the one world agenda. And that's what I'm kind of wrapping around here, is that this is not something that these idiots are pulling out of their hat. This is something that has been put together. This is something that Lorianne and myself on our shows independently, on other shows we've worked on our shows that we've collaborated on, we have been talking about this for years. I used to give a disclosure that, hey, what I'm about to say is pretty crazy. You know, and I'm having a hard time spitting this out. Technocracy was a new word for me, Lorianne. I remember that. I was like, what the hell is a technocracy? Well, this is what is controlling the narrative. And this is what these shadow groups that are working through our government, regardless of who the administration is. They are so seated and have been there for so very long. They are the ones controlling the narrative. They are the ones breaking your constitutional rights. They are the ones breaking the law blatantly. U.S. Code 241, conspiracy against rights. These agents of the government. The government, I want to remind you, the U.S. government works for you. You don't work for them. We're not their slaves. We're not their peons. They work for us, and they're pulling some serious bullshit up there, Lorianne. And to go and blatantly violate as agents of the U.S. government, 241, folks, look that up, conspiracy against your rights. This is when two or more people conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, intimidate any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him by the Constitution of our Republic, folks, Constitution of this great country, or the laws of the United States, or because of his having so exercised blah, 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 blah. So essentially, when these FBI agents and or Homeland, well, and of course, somebody will finally spill the beans. We know it wasn't just this FBI. We want to, in fact, I don't give a crap about these FBI agents. I want to know who's directing them. Hell, I'd like to know who's, you know, the puppet master behind the meat puppet in the White House. Stinking it up.
Most of the population of the United States have the same question, you know, controlling Biden because he's obviously not in control of himself.
Exactly. This is not about, like I said, some people said, why does this affect me? I don't have social media. No, this is greater than that. And this has been cooking right in front of everybody's eyes for years. You know, when the Patriot Act was the greatest gift to these people ever and out of fear. And I understand people were living in uncertainty and fear. I'm not going to say, hey, I'm not, you know, it was an excellent psyop. It was almost as good as them sending the guys to the moon, you know. But no, seriously, at the expense of lives, American lives, innocent lives, sacrificed lives. But Lorianne is the 9/11 person. We're not doing 9/11 tonight. But that was the gateway to the upend of our liberties. our social and our constitutional, our inherent human rights with strokes of a pen and the consent, and people were thankful for it. I wasn't. I saw it for what it was. I'm sure Lorianne saw it for what it was. Set the emotion aside.
Oh, most definitely.
Set the emotion
aside. I was definitely one of those people against the Patriot Act from the very start.
Yeah. But there was a lot of emotion. They used the fear and uncertainty. You know, just like with COVID. Oh, shut down the world. It's a really scary, dangerous place. And we're the only ones that can keep you safe. We'll see how well that worked out. And in a way, you know, Lorianne, it's almost kind of a mixed blessing. There are people that just didn't get a clue. But there are people that said, hey, regardless of political affiliation or, you know, any of that, put all of that aside, saw it for what it was. And we can't allow that type of political clouding to get in the way of, or division, the racial crap, the, you know, financial disparity crap, and us against them crap. That's what they want. And that's the type of discourse that they are sowing. And like I said, you know, we're going to play this clip by Facts Matter, and it really outlines what happened. And it's so important to truly absorb what this is, whether you like the players in the situation or not. This is not about who is banned or who is censored. This is about the act itself, the act of the U.S. government infringing upon American citizens' free speech. Free speech is a big deal. We lose that, we lose everything. And people go, well, hell, sew my mouth shut, but let me keep my gun. it's hard to argue. That was a good one. But, no, seriously.
Well, I could actually argue it because, you know, if you allow your First Amendment rights to be taken away, then the next thing is going after even more your Second Amendment rights, and you won't have the free speech to be able to protest and petition your government for, to address of grievances anymore, because
exactly.
That's your First Amendment.
Okay,
so you won't
Lori.
Be able to protest or try to
you.
Help. Yeah, yeah, you know, so then there'll be no voice, your voice will be silenced when it comes to trying to be able to speak up and defend our Second Amendment rights or any other right for that matter. You know, when they go after your right to probable cause before you're charged with a crime, unreasonable search and seizure, their right to a fair and speedy trial with and your right to have an attorney, all of those things are in jeopardy.
Oh my gosh, you
when
just described
the First J6. Amendment. Yep.
Those people with J6, what they're going through. No, you just described everything that those guys are going through.
Exactly.
So this is the type of stripping us of our, and saying that the Constitution of the United States does not matter. Well, this is a republic, and it is governed by that Constitution of the United States, and only by that. Your feelings do not matter. And that is the truth. The law is the law. You don't like it? Move out. Go. Go somewhere else. See if they want to put up your whiny asses. You know, you don't like it? Sinking ship, you call it. Leave. But for those who want to stay and fight, losing our First Amendment rights is that that is our arsenal, and we must protect that. And so with that said, as I start, I'm like, I got to find this on the switchboard here real quick. Oh, goodness. Let's see.
If you don't find it, I have it up too, so I can push play
okay.
if you need me to.
I have it right
here. All right,
here.
So this is...
I should put my glasses on. So we're going to go ahead and go with this. And everybody, this outlines what happened perfectly into the T. I found this very enlightening. So as soon as this clip wraps up, feel free to call in, and you can call in before the clip's over if you want to join the discussion, because we'll be on this discussion for a bit, and we'll be talking about your constitutional rights and you know, how we can, you know, support you, and maybe you guys have some ideas how to fight this, you know, agenda. But the number is 515-602-9722, press number 1, and that lets us know that you're waiting to join the conversation, and as soon as the clip, you know, wraps up, we'll bring you into the discussion. So 515-602-9722 and press 1. So here we go.
For the last 2 or so weeks, Elon Musk has been exposing Twitter one bombshell at a time, and showing the world exactly the type of censorship that Twitter was engaging in prior to his takeover. And one of the most shocking treasure trove of documents that have been released thus far has to do with the deplatforming of President Trump. That's because over the past 2 or so years now, the official line has been that President Trump broke Twitter's policy by inciting a call to violence. That was at least the official reason that was given to the world as to why he was kicked off the platform. But these files paint a much different picture. They show that even within the company, it was clear to almost everyone involved that President Trump did not actually violate any Twitter policies. And so what they did was essentially invent out of thin air a new reason to ban him anyway. However, let me back up for a quick moment and set the stage for you properly regarding what these documents actually reveal. And I hope that if you appreciate content like this, you take a moment to smash that like button and also smash that subscribe button. That way you can get these types of news feeds every time we publish them. Now, to start with, over his entire 4-year-long presidency, there were calls from both inside as well as outside of Twitter to have President Trump kicked off the platform. However, to their credit, Twitter took the official public position of resisting those calls by saying that they can't and shouldn't block a public leader from the global discussion. Here was, for instance, a public policy statement that was released by Twitter back in the year 2018. Here's what it said, quote, "Blocking a world leader from Twitter or removing their controversial tweets would hide important information people should be able to see and debate. It would also not silence that leader, but it would certainly hamper necessary discussion around their words and actions." However, leading up to the 2020 election, well, these newly revealed documents show that high-level executives within the company, meaning within Twitter, began to have regular meetings with U.S. intelligence agencies, including the DHS and the FBI. And furthermore, the documents show that these regular meetings were, among other things, meant to allow the FBI to tell Twitter which posts they wanted to have taken down. And it appears that Twitter was, in fact, compliant, evidenced by the many instances of them going ahead and apparently doing what the intelligence services asked them to do, such as to add labels to certain tweets, to minimize the reach of certain individuals, or even to suspend certain accounts altogether. So that was all happening already in the lead-up to the election. But after the 2020 election, the chorus only grew louder. After the election, there was a cacophony of people within the company, within Twitter, pushing to have Trump kicked off the platform. And these voices grew exponentially louder after the events of January the 6th. After that day, the Slack channels were hot with Twitter employees discussing how to ban President Trump, who, for your reference, at that point needed just one more strike before having his account be at risk of permanent suspension. But the problem was that in order to kick him off, President Trump needed to violate some type of specific Twitter policy. There needed to be an official justification to kick him off. And so amidst this backdrop, on January 8th, which is 2 days after January 6th, President Trump tweeted the following, quote, "The 75 million great American patriots who voted for me, America First, and Make America Great Again will have a giant voice long into the future. They will not be disrespected or treated unfairly in any way, shape, or form." And then about an hour later, he added this, quote, "To all those who have asked, I will not be going to the inauguration on January 20th. seems rather innocuous, especially given the fact that around this time of this tweet, after January 6th, the legacy media outlets in this country were painting anyone who happened to vote for Trump with a broad brush as essentially a threat to democracy. However, that's not how the employees over at Twitter saw it. As you can see up on your screen, those two tweets from President Trump lit up the internal Twitter chats, with employees, once again, calling to have him deplatformed due to the so-called coded secret messages within his statement. Essentially, they were saying that President Trump's two posts, the one about Trump voters and the second one about him not going to the inauguration, were actually, secretly, an incitement to violence. For instance, one employee, whose name is redacted, wrote that quote, "It's pretty obvious he's going to try to thread the needle of incitement without violating the rules." Notably, this employee did not elaborate further or provide any evidence of his claim. Regardless, though, a top-level official within Twitter, Ms. Anika Navaroli, she investigated the tweet, and she wrote the following within the internal chat, quote, "Also, I am not seeing clear or coded incitement in the Trump tweet." She added that, "I'll respond in the elections channel and say that our team has assessed and found no violations for Trump's tweet." She further wrote that, quote, "Twitter's safety division later assessed the Trump tweet, the one above, and determined that there is no violation of our policies at this time." Meaning that their initial assessment was that the tweet did not violate any Twitter policies and that it essentially meant what it said. However, 90 minutes after that initial assessment, Ms. Vijaya Gadde, who at the time was head of Twitter's legal department, she continued to push in this direction and asked whether the message could, in fact, be somehow a secretly coded call to violence. Here's what she wrote, again, after the initial assessment from Twitter's own safety division had been made. Here's what she wrote in an internal chat, quote, "The biggest question is whether a tweet like the one this morning from Trump, which isn't a rule violation on its face, is being used as a coded incitement to further violence. If you have any context or insight which you consider, I'm all ears. For instance, use of the term American patriots and they will not be disrespected or treated unfairly in any way, shape, or form." Then, according to these documents, about 2 hours after she posed that question, Twitter executives held a 30-minute all-staff meeting which focused on the question of why Trump hasn't been banned. And wouldn't you know it, just a few short hours after that meeting, Twitter officially announced that they were suspending President Trump's account, saying, in their public statement at least, that his recent tweets were in violation of the glorification of violence policy. Now, this story actually gets a lot deeper, which we'll get into after I show you this beautiful coin.
This right here is an American Walking Liberty 1 ounce gold coin. And typically, I order at least one of these from our sponsor, American Hartford Gold, every single month. The reason I do so is because, I mean, as you likely know, the inflation rate in this country is the highest that it's been in, what, the last 40 years now? Everything, like the price of food, the price of housing, the price of gas is absolutely going through the roof. And in fact, market experts, like the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, he's not only predicting a recession, but he's even using words like unprecedented economic hurricane. And so listen, I absolutely do not give you any financial advice, but I would recommend that you do what I do, which is pick up the phone and call American Hartford Gold. Their super friendly staff can help you diversify your portfolio by either getting physical gold and physical silver delivered directly to your doorstep like I do, or deposited directly into your IRA and your 401k account. They make the entire process super simple. And actually, besides me, they have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau with quite literally thousands of satisfied clients around the country. And best of all, to our viewers, to the viewers of Facts Matter, they are currently throwing in $2,500 worth of free silver on your first qualifying order. So giving them a call is an absolute no-brainer. So pick up the phone and call 866-242-2352. That's 866-242-2352. Or text Roman to 65532. Their link will also be down in the description box below. And then let's head on back to the studio.
And so that's what happened. Officially, at least, Twitter kicked President Trump off because he violated their policy against the glorification of violence, which sounds pretty bad. And obviously, the tweets must have been glorifying violence pretty hard in order to get the leader of the free world kicked off of his primary communication channel. And so, let's take a quick moment to review what those two tweets from President Trump actually said. Here's the first one, quote, "The 75 million great American patriots who voted for me, America First, and Make America Great Again will have a giant voice long into the future. They will not be disrespected or treated unfairly in any way, shape, or form." Then the second one, "To all those who have asked, I will not be going to the inauguration on January 20th. Okay, so again, they seem rather innocuous on the surface. And as we mentioned earlier, even Twitter's own internal safety division made the initial assessment that they did not violate Twitter's policies. So how specifically did Twitter justify their action? Well, luckily for us, we have a statement from Twitter which outlines their reasoning. And let's go through it together. To start with, their assessment determined that Trump's last two Twitter posts were, quote, highly likely to encourage and inspire people to replicate the criminal acts that took place at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. They then further went on to say that they reached this conclusion based on a number of different factors. The first factor, the first point, says that President Trump's statement about not attending the inauguration is, quote, being received by a number of his supporters as further confirmation that the election was not legitimate and is seen as him disavowing his previous claim that there would be an orderly transition on January 20th. Now, that seems highly speculative, at least to me, and it's very open to interpretation. Specifically, at the time, President Trump had roughly 90 million Twitter followers. And so the fact that a number of his supporters thought this way is a little bit vague, and very notably, Twitter did not offer any specific examples. Regardless, let's continue, because this release continues. In their second point, Twitter said that President Trump's statement may also, quote, serve as encouragement to those potentially considering violent acts that the inauguration will be a safe target as he will not be attending. Again, that could be the case, but that's also highly speculative, evidenced by the fact that in the statement, they use terms like may also serve as well as potentially considering and so on and so forth. Using this logic, you can interpret almost anything that anyone says as a cause to kick them off the platform, because anything theoretically could be interpreted in any which way. Regardless though, the third point in Twitter's justification, which is my favorite in this list of mental gymnastics, is that President Trump's use of the words American patriots when describing his supporters is, quote, also being interpreted as support for those committing violent acts at the U.S. Capitol. That's very cool. Then in their fourth point, Twitter claimed that when President Trump said that his supporters will have a, quote, giant voice long into the future, and that, quote, they will not be disrespected or treated unfairly in any way, shape, or form, well, those words are being interpreted, at least according to Twitter, as, quote, further indication that President Trump does not plan to facilitate an orderly transition. In short, summing it all up, Twitter's justification for kicking Trump off the platform was basically to say that President Trump didn't actually threaten violence, but that his words can be interpreted to perhaps be an incitement to violence. Interpreted by who? Well, it doesn't necessarily say. But that's the way that this type of censorship goes. Essentially, the way that it appears to work, based on years of evidence, as well as these new files from inside of Twitter, well, there's one group in America which can constantly talk about doing violence to their opponents and have it be brushed off as just being a metaphor, while you have another group that can't even talk about their points of view without having it be essentially called a dog whistle. Here's a simple example. In fact, it took me a few minutes to find it because these examples are so ubiquitous. This is from People of Bernie, a verified account on Twitter, and they wrote this, quote, you're either Antifa or pro-fascism. There is no middle ground. The question today isn't which side you're on. That question has already been answered. We know who sided with fascism. Don't let them escape it. Don't let them escape it. By that point in time, Antifa had been beating people up, burning down buildings, and one of their professed members had even killed someone over in Portland. And so by all metrics, that was a threat. But inside of Twitter, it's not interpreted that way. It wasn't taken down because, after all, it's just a metaphor. Another great example was brought forth in a congressional hearing just yesterday where you had Congresswoman Nancy Mace confront an activist about the rhetoric that she was posting on Twitter. Take a look.
Only a few weeks after the attempted attack on a Supreme Court justice on June 25th, one of the witnesses, Alejandra Caraballo, tweeted out the following in response to a decision on abortion overturning Roe v. Wade, and I'll quote directly from the tweet, the six justices who overturned Roe should never know peace again. It is our civic duty to accost them every time they're in public. They are pariahs. Since women don't have their rights, these justices should never have a peaceful moment in public again. So my last question today of Ms. Caraballo, do you stand by these comments, this kind of rhetoric on social media, and do you believe it's a threat to democracy?
Thank you, Representative, for the opportunity to clarify and provide context to my tweets.
I have a question, is it yes or no? Do you believe your rhetoric is a threat to democracy when you're calling to accost a branch of government, the Supreme Court?
I don't believe that's a correct characterization of my statement.
Did you not tweet that? But you thought that the Supreme Court justices should be accosted.
What I'm saying is that is not an accurate characterization of my statement.
On June 8th of this year, a man was arrested near Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home in Maryland. He told law enforcement officers he wanted to kill a Supreme Court justice. He was found with a knife, with a pistol, two magazines, ammunition, pepper spray, zip ties, a hammer, crowbar, and duct tape.
And just as you guessed, that tweet, the tweet in that video, was never taken down by Twitter, regardless of the context of real death threats being lobbied against conservative Supreme Court justices. And regardless of how that tweet might have been interpreted by someone, it still remains up. That's just how these things work. And frankly, there are countless examples like this over on Twitter. And what they all add up to is that when you begin to have the power to ban people based on some interpretation of their speech rather than what they actually said, well, that's fairly dangerous. and it'll inevitably give huge amounts of censorship power to whoever is controlling the platform, because when they want to censor someone, like for instance President Trump, they can make up a reason and say that his words can be interpreted as a call to violence. But when you have an activist tacitly threatening the lives of Supreme Court justices, well, those very same Twitter employees, they can turn right around and say that that tweet didn't have an actual call to violence, and it can be left up, no problem. That's the reality of basing decisions based on things like interpretations rather than facts. And now, at least thanks to these internal Twitter documents, we know how these things play out. Apparently, in the upcoming Twitter files, which will be released very soon, they will revolve around Twitter's COVID and vaccine-related censorship, and so I'm looking forward to those. Until then, if you'd like to go deeper into anything that we've discussed thus far in today's episode, I'll throw all my research notes down into the description box below so you can peruse them at your own leisure. And all I ask in return is that as you're making your way down there to the description box, if you haven't already, take a quick detour to smash that like button so this video can be shared out to ever more people. And also consider subscribing to this YouTube channel as well, that we can get this type of honest news content delivered directly into your YouTube feed every time we publish it. And then lastly, I'd like to mention that over on Epic TV, Josh published a phenomenal episode of Crossroads, wherein he goes deep into a case that's currently before the U.S. Supreme Court, a case called Brunson versus Adams, and it's a case with serious implications, given the fact that it's...
Okay, so this is the Alaska Patriot Network. Thanks for tuning in. And this clip kind of lays the groundwork for information for what happened, you know, in the last couple of days. This clip is a couple of days old, and a lot of things have come out. Since this clip was released, it's come to evidence that it was actually FBI, well, not actually, but in collusion with the federal government, FBI, they had their San Francisco office contacting these Twitter employees and telling them who to suppress and what to suppress and when to suppress it. And that is where a criminal act happened. Now, whether we like it or not, social media platforms, they're private businesses. Essentially, they can kind of do what they want. They've got their community standards, they've got all that blah, 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 and legal jargon. I know none of you guys read. A few of you I know read, and you should. But they shouldn't be doing it, but they do it. And I think it's best to know that they do it. And they shadow ban people, and they suppress you, and all kinds, you know, your voices, or they downright, you know, kick you off their site. And then you just create a new handle, and you get back on. But what happened when the federal government directed these obviously ripe for picking employees, these people were ripe for it. It was already internally happening within their offices. And what will be interesting to find out, Lorianne, is whether or not this happened prior to the incidences that they're alluding to now. If they're working from the most recent to back, you know, backwards in time. So, but that is a clear, violation of Code 241 in the U.S. Constitution, and it is a conspiracy of your rights. And, you know, it may not have happened to your account, but when the government emboldens itself to break the laws of higher framework of our country, with complete disregard to the consequences, knowing that the consequences are going to sway politically or towards a type of agenda. Because, yes, this is happening here in the United States. Yes, it's happening to U.S. citizens. But this is a bigger thing. The people that are being you know, hopefully one day we'll know who's really pulling all the strings. We can, you know, hypothesize all we want, but, you know, that's unknown. We all have a lot of good ideas who it is. You know, we know who it is. But this is happening right here and right now. And it's probably happened to any one of you listening right now. And I know it's happened to Lorianne.
My original Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne page was taken down off of, and I created a new page, and it didn't take long. I shared the wrong meme, and now my new Lucid Libertarian page is being suppressed because I shared a meme basically joking about Canada's euthanasia health policy, and so now my page is at risk of being unpublished because I was encouraging self-harm or suicide with that meme. And it's like, I'm not the one encouraging it. It's the Canadian government that's encouraging it. But sure, take my page down because I've shared a meme joking about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been suppressed. I've been, you know, banned and shadow banned and all of that. And I've also had Homeland Security knocking at my door, and it's not fun. But back in 2019, I was actively working to shut down these bot accounts, and bots are really annoying. I mean, a lot of people don't even realize sometimes they'll get into a social media battle with somebody, and it's like, oh, just give it up. It's a bot. It's artificial intelligence, and it really is.
Yeah.
They're reacted. You know, they're programmed. Lorianne is the IT person. She knows how, you know, intelligently they can program these. But these bot accounts were engaging with users on, and I was working, I was not working, but, you know, collaborating with other concerned citizens to target and report these bot accounts, because these bot accounts looked innocuous on the surface, and they'd ask for a follow, and you know, a lot of people sometimes they just like, oh, a new follower, and they just click. But I'm the type of person who's like, well, who's this person? What do they want? You know, even at the point where I had, you know, 70 some odd thousand followers, I didn't just click like and follow back. I never do. I want to engage with each person and or know that we have something in common. I don't want to be in discourse with a follower, you know, somebody that you're following in that capacity. And these accounts kept popping up, and I was like, where are these accounts? You know, and some of them were the, oh, call me on the app, you know, the Cash App or the MeWe or whatever, you know, and just scammers and whatnot. But some of these, though, I'd look at their pages, and once you kind of scrolled down and looked at their tweets and replies, there were postings that contained pretty much what was it called, the Anarchist Cookbook. You know, I might be outdating myself, but it was banned. It was actually banned in the United States. It was one of the few books that were banned countrywide just because of the content. But these accounts, when you look down into their postings and stuff, down their little chat lines, they had ways to make homemade explosives, drugs, buying ingredients for illegal substances, human trafficking, child porn. So, I mean, these are the dregs of society. We're using these type of accounts. And Lorianne, I think there were, I don't know, I think maybe reported about 9,000 accounts. but a huge volume of them were reported to Homeland Security. And none of the group that I collaborated with, the group of people I collaborated with to get these sites cleaned up, we never got responses. Nobody called us back. Nobody took us seriously. And it was a type of doxing that sent the Homeland Security and or the information I was looking at. They told me I was doxed, that somebody said I was a terrorist training camp or whatever, you know, and they had to come out and check me out. But I do believe that there was with the human trafficking and the missing children and just the creepy shit that I do not doubt that this nefarious one world order and politicians are complacent in. And when you get too close to that type of information, it's dangerous. We said there were lots of independent journalists that have been arrested and canceled and all kinds of stuff throughout this. And I was lucky. I was just, you know, hit and run with them. But it's still, you know, you realize that, you know, you must be doing something right. And, you know, I must have hit a nail on the head. Of course, nothing's changed. And I actually backed off for a time being. And I realized, you know, how to carefully word stuff. But that goes to also, you look at stuff like that where blatantly thousands and thousands of accounts are being reported for harmful content and things that can kill people and or, you know, child pornography and stuff. And the legal team of Twitter goes after a coded tweet by a sitting president. So now if you're a patriot, you're a terrorist. Lorianne, are you a terrorist?
Well, according to our government and according to Facebook, probably, yeah. Even though, you know.
Okay.
I'm just sharing my opinion. And I never call for violence. Yeah. Like, violence is the last thing that I want. But that doesn't matter,
exactly.
You know. It's just, you know, and it's a testament to, like, how careful we have to be, you know, with, like you said, like, how we phrase things, what we post, how we post it.
The Constitution, Lorianne, doesn't care about your feelings. The Constitution of the United States is not worded to care about your damn feelings, Lorianne, or my feelings.
Exactly.
We're allowed to say what we like, whether people are like it or not. How is R&B rap going to like it if we took out every N-word? Say, oh, you can't say that. And now we're going to take all all time being, you know, less tenure. Oh, no, that would be bad. And I use that because that is used, that's like, what the heck? You know, seriously?
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, they're free to say that. And, you know, so the Constitution folks care about your damn feelings. Your feelings don't matter. You know, if words are used in harm, like, you know, words are used as an instrument to define your demise, I don't want to say the other phrasing on there, then your constitutional rights have not been infringed on, but your local and your state laws are in play then for your safety. There are big differences in what's happening. And for this, and I, like you said, this Facts Matter clip was a couple days before it was revealed that the FBI, we knew the FBI and the Department of Justice and all those people were monkeying with our, you know, freedom of speech through these platforms and spying on us and all kinds of things. But now it is revealed. So like I said, it'll be nice to go back and find out if this lawyer or whoever she was with Twitter said, I think that this sitting president's using a coded word that only patriots would understand. This gal is either cuckoo.
Yeah, the word patriot is code. You know, it's apparently code to say you're a patriot now, you know, please inform me, you know, what is this new code?
Yeah, it's like Q. I mean, it's like Q for the left. I mean, what the hell is this code? You know, I mean, that is the most asinine explanation I've ever heard from a quote-unquote policy-making person for a huge corporation of any type. I can't even imagine a manager of a damn car wash saying something flimsy as that. What the heck? It's coded. Tinfoil hats. We all have them. They know it. It's okay. Tinfoil hats are good. Yes, you're the worst. But, I mean, coded? The sitting president is using it. So patriot is code. So anytime, and it could have happened, and it may be revealed that through AI and algorithms, every time somebody posted a shout out to, hey, all you patriots out there, bing, Homeland Security, you know, Patriot Act. That's the kind of shit they use to use as a gateway with that. But in this instance, we have proof that a sitting government official directed the suppression of information. And that is huge. That is really big. And
yeah, I mean, and so who's really the fascist here, you know? I would say that the White House's involvement in this, FBI, Department of Homeland Security, government agencies, all of them involved in the suppression of information that goes against their narrative and working with social media companies and big tech, how is that not fascism? I would like a lefty person that supports Biden and thinks he's the greatest. I would really like for them to answer that question.
Exactly. You know, and this is that infringement, the stuff that they're sneaking in, like the whole the Patriot Act to keep us safe. And then during the scamdemic, we want you to get vaccine passports. We want you to contact trace. We want you to do this. We want you to do that. That's the gateway to the social credit system. And the social credit system is something we've talked a lot about. And I'm bringing up the social credit system because what happens when you're suppressed and throttled down and or any other thing, and you're in, you know, social media and or any other kind of platform, maybe your PayPal, maybe your bank, maybe you're an ultra conservative patriot business that your credit card company won't process your payments anymore for your company because you're Mike Lindell, you know, or you know, anybody else that's, you know, hurt their leftist feelings or they've been directed, will we find out eventually that it was the U.S. government throttling that financial industry as well?
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, and how soon is it going to be before, oh, you know, you're at a gun store and you're purchasing a firearm and you're using your credit card? Nope. Transaction denied.
Yep.
You know,
yep,
how long before
that
happens?
Because that company does not, yep, no, I'm sure it happens all the time. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a special contract that you can't say, you know, that I get extra points because I don't buy guns. And everybody thinks these EV stations are a good idea. Let me tell you, if EV charging stations were a good idea, private industry would have them all over the place because America is built on capitalism and private industry. They're not a great idea. Shoot, most of these major cities, junkies that go strip them in 2 seconds for all the goods in them, all the copper and everything else, you know, Seattle, Portland, Chicago, you know, Delaware.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Anyways.
I can only imagine.
But no, but.
But you're right. You know, it is private industry that innovates new stuff. And private industry is only going to develop and sell and distribute products that they think is going to be useful and profitable for consumers. And so once that is stifled, you know, what if you're a company that, you know, what if you're a gun manufacturer and you're developing some new technology for firearms and they come along and, you know, government comes along and says, nope, can't do that. Banks say, nope, can't do that. We're not going to finance it and completely stop the innovation. And it won't matter. You know, even if that innovation is to make them more safe, it won't matter. It's a firearm. You know, it's only a matter of time before it all comes together and you can't finance it, and therefore it stifles the development and it stifles your ability as a business to thrive.
Exactly. But, you know, with the EV charging station, that, you know, you can't run in and pay cash. For what? I need to charge, you know. You could go there and they could say, you've already driven your allotted so many miles this month. We'll only give you enough juice, but you must go home right away and lock yourself in and put your mask on. Inject yourself with our mRNA, DNA altering materials, and then report to your slave handler. That is the gateway, and we're already in the social credit system, whether you like it or not. You know, and this is not the financial credit system. And, you know, in our chat, somebody had brought up, you know, imagine what will happen when the social credit system takes place. Well, we're already there. And that vaccine passport, all types of things, you know. You think that watch is really cool with the, hey, I'm going to monitor my heart and how many steps I take and where I go and everything else? Who's harvesting that information? What are they doing with that information?
China.
You know, exactly. People are putting on their social media status, I'm a pure blood. Don't advertise that shit. They will come for you. Because this jab and all this crap, that is, you know, a means to the end. What COVID couldn't finish off was meant for that. You know, they'll finish it off, you know, with the jab. But people running around, I'm a pure blood. Well, you know, they'll be picking you for your organs and your blood, and God only knows what they want. You know, but
oh yeah,
this
psychological studies.
Yeah, breeding. You name
mm-hmm.
it. So, And I know we kind of went off the rails, but we do get to go off topic a little bit. But this, but that can only happen, Lorianne, I truly believe, if we lose our freedom of speech, our freedom to congregate, our freedom to, like you said, pose grievance in these matters and legislate and, you know, all of our, that's the foundation. What, you know, why else wouldn't they put it number 10 in the Constitution? It's not number 10, it's number 1. Because without number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, just, it means it you don't have the power to exercise it. So,
exactly.
You know, that's, I mean, there's
exactly.
huge implications with that. Huge implications. Yeah, it's a heavy topic. I mean, it is a big deal. And not only the losing your freedom of, you know, speech, but also, you know, the infringement on just humanity. And these globalists that are orchestrating this, and it's to the point where, Lorianne, we just can't even, like I said, you can't even vote your way out of this. And so
yeah, that's the scariest part
speech,
of it. It's just like we're to the point now where it's almost like it really doesn't matter who we vote for anymore. You know, it's there's so much compromise and so much corruption that, you know, it's only a small handful of representatives that we elect that can, you know, that can resist being sucked into that corruption and that coercion to comply and go along with everybody else on this kind of stuff. So it's like, what do we do, you know, when we can't even trust the representatives that we've voted in, you know, because we've seen it more and more, you know, there's, it doesn't matter what party, you know, a legislator is in or a politician is in that wins an election. They are supposed to represent everybody, not just the people in their own party. And I think that whole concept has been lost as well. Everything's so partisan that they're no longer representing we the people of the United States. They're only representing only the people that in the Democrat Party, and everybody else can just F off. You know, we don't care about what you think. We don't care about your rights. We don't care about your freedom of speech. We don't care about any of your rights at all. It's so partisan and so one-sided, and they recruit people across the aisle with the bribe factor. It's like, you know, oh well, you know, if you want this legislation to pass, then you need my vote. Well, then you're going to have to agree to this legislation that I want and that you're against. And so if you want to get what you want, you're going to have to vote for what I want, even though you're totally against it. And that's exactly how it is.
Yep. Well, I see a caller in the queue. We're just getting ready to take a real quick break. The holiday season's like really close upon us. And, well, you know, it's Elmo time. So if you are looking for that perfect gift to ensure that you freak somebody out, definitely get it for them. Or if you're the conspiracy type parents, loving parents, you could get the traditional Tickle Me Elmo. But I absolutely love this clip. It never gets old to me. So it wouldn't be the holidays, like, you know, I always like to play it around this time of year. So we're going to go ahead and play this real quick and refresh our studios. And then we'll be bringing Think in, our caller in. And we'll be right back.
Hey there. Are you hesitant to get the vaccine?
Yeah.
Then get the brand new government-approved Vaccinate Me Elmo doll.
Wow! Elmo loves experimental vaccines!
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your kid will finally feel the pressure and shame we've successfully made you feel to get the COVID vaccine.
Quick! Give me the vaccine! Elmo don't want to be responsible for the deaths of friends or family! Thanks! Ha! Now Elmo's a good person!
The Vaccinate Me Elmo doll comes with a toy syringe, a stethoscope.
Elmo, your heart is beating fast. Are you having complications?
Of course not!
And a tiny vial of something. It's not the vaccine, promise. It's, water. Let your kid drink it.
Elmo, can't you take your mask off now?
No! Gotta keep that mask on! Forever!
That feels like mixed messaging.
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your child will be begging you to get the vaccine. Just scared out of their little mind for the fate of the world or your money back.
It's your turn. Time to get the vaccine.
You want to.
Sorry, you have to.
No.
Do it.
No.
You have no choice.
No.
Now. Now. Or else.
Or else what?
Last chance.
And for all you anti-science conspiracy believing parents, buy the re-released classic Tickle Me Elmo. It's perfectly normal.
Now this is fun.
Get the vaccine or die.
Buy the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll today. It's required by the CDC.
The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness will teach you everything you need to know about how to choose your pronouns,
how to blame everyone else for your problem,
how to show the world just how wonderful you are,
the art of virtue signaling,
the basis of race, gender, and intersectionality,
the truth about American history,
problematic books,
and how to tell if a baby is racist.
We've taught the world to sing in perfect harmony. Just drink Coke, the road to obesity.
We say we're woke, we sell drinks, fat as smoke. China is our labor supplier that drives our stock price even higher. What the world knows today, obesity won't go away. Woke and cool, diabetes is here to stay. That's the real thing, what the world knows.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
And welcome back to the Alaska Patriot Network. My mic was muted. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We have Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show with us tonight, co-hosting as usual. We have all you great people in chat. Thanks for dropping in. We really appreciate it. Everybody that's tuned in and listened tonight, you know, we put this content out because we can't say it on these platforms we've been talking about. And it's just nice to, you know, collaborate with like-minded people, and that's what this show is about. So with that said, we're going to bring our caller in, Think, and we're going to include him into the conversation. Welcome to the show, Think. Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Hello. Hi, Libertarian. And hi, Alaskan patriot. I was writing down all this stuff to say, and then one of your commercials said, it was this commercial that said, how to tell if a baby is racist.
Good old Babylon B, one of their best.
I love Babylon B. That vaccinate me almost just creepy. And I love it. It's so funny. But, yeah, how do you tell if your baby's racist? I mean, you know, this is the type of stuff we really need to know in today's world, apparently.
Yeah. I wanted to jump in here and talk about, you were mentioning it earlier, where the social credit score and this carbon tax. And so I'm deep into cryptocurrencies, by the way. I'm deep into it. I love the whole concept of Bitcoins when it first came out. When Bitcoins first came out, there was no PayPal. I remember eBay at the time, how you would buy something on eBay is you would go online, purchase it, and then you would send a money order or a check to eBay.
Mm-hmm.
And then when eBay approved it, then the seller would send you the item. The whole process usually took around a month to 2 months before you got your item. It's not like Amazon where it comes like the next day or the next following day. Back then, it took forever. Eventually, PayPal came and sped up the process. But Bitcoins came in before that, and a way of us sending money instantly was incredible to me. For me to send somebody money back in the days, I would have to go to a Western Union. Banks didn't even send money to other banks at that time. I think you had to pay like a huge fee if you wanted your bank to do that, but the majority of banks didn't. So the only way to send money at that time was through Western Union. So when Bitcoins came on the scene, and it was a way for us to send money from one person instantly, not just like in our neighborhood or in our city, but around the world. The concept of Bitcoins is incredible. So where I'm going with this is it's going to come. Digital currencies is here to stay. The way that it can the way digital money is going to improve our financial system is next level. So banks right now, for one bank to send money to another bank outside the country, it's actually quicker to take that money and put it on a plane and send it there physically. It takes that long from one bank to send money to another. Even though the transaction is like within a day, the actual money transfer takes a long time. So what digital currencies does is it sends money instantly. All right, now that's a benefit of it. Another interesting thing about digital currencies is information can be stored within the digital currency itself. Like if I were to give you a dollar, then you get a dollar. And maybe I can write a little love note to you on that dollar and give it to you, and you open it. Oh, look, he wrote me some. But digital currencies, you can actually store tons of information on there. Like let's say your car title, right? the car title itself could be a digital currency. So let's say you have a car and you want to sell it for $10,000. Now, you give the title to the other person once they give you $10,000. It'll be like a car title cryptocurrency. And within that car title is a record of all the people that purchased it through the past and the how many tickets were made on this car, like somebody speeding or all the accident reports. Everything is stored in that title. I'm mentioning this because I'm pretty sure this is what's coming. So anyway, I'm going to fast forward all this this information and go into the CBDC. Now, what the CBDC is, CBDC stands for Central Bank Digital Currency. They're the bank that's going to hold the digital currencies. Now, they're going to use this digital currency and put algorithms on it. So every time you purchase something, there's going to be a carbon credit put on it. Like, let's say you buy 10 gallons of gas, then you would be charged, I don't know, like, one carbon credit, and every month you'll be allowed like a 50, you know, a point carbon credit or 100 point. So every time you buy a certain amount of gas, they'll charge you carbon credit, but not just gas, because everything uses gas, right? So if you were to buy food, like let's say steak, it took gas to take that, to get that steak to your supermarket. So you'll be charged like a 0.25% carbon credit. So once you reach the certain amount of carbon credits that month, your bank account gets shut off. You cannot use anymore. You cannot pull out your money anymore. The bank will shut off your account. And that's what is coming. And I heard of this through some people that were studying up on the what's coming with the Great Reset. And that's one of the elements that will be added in our future banking system. I hope I didn't rant too much. And
yeah.
No, you're great.
I would like to add that, you know, for people out there that don't understand the value of a carbon credit or what a carbon credit is a carbon credit is equal to one ton of carbon dioxide. Okay, or in some markets, carbon dioxide equivalent gases, and essentially anything that emits. Now, at this juncture, it's pretty limited to major corporations and whatnot. So when they write out their carbon credit plan, they'll say, okay, so say I'm a global shipping company, I'd say we reduced our carbon credit, or this is my current usage of fuel, and this is what we're emitting. And then they have this, you know, formulation. But it's interesting because a carbon credit is actually worth money. And how it kind of works for these large companies is they have a certain allotted amount of carbon credits. They're starting with this. They were just kind of gifted with these numbers based on size and volume and distribution. And, you know, this is a share of air. I call it a share of air. So they this is beyond like things of the earth. This is, you know, part of the atmosphere, whether, you know, that they're doing this to. But anyway, so going back. So carbon credits can be earned by reducing the operation's carbon footprint. So what that means is if you're a large company and you, say, bought a bunch of EV vehicles or whatever, you have leftover carbon credits. And a company that may be enrolled in this and exceeded their carbon credits or foresee a large project coming up and need more, they can actually buy them and they can be sold for a profit. So these carbon credits are already being in place. So this social credit system is being used not only here in the United States, but worldwide by these globalists. And pretty soon, like I said, you're going to be at the grocery store and you're going to be shopping, and they're going to say, no, Mr. Jones, you cannot buy a steak, because cows, everybody knows, you know, they create, you know, methane. But it shows here that, you know, you have just enough carbon credits. Let's see. You probably get, I don't know, a couple ounces of these crickets because, you know, they have a lower carbon. So it won't be money per, I mean, there'll be money. I'm not saying there won't be money per se, but how you're able to use it. And people think that, like, this infrastructure policy that they passed, these Democrats here in the United States passed, that people are like, oh, cool, they're going to go and build EV stations on the interstate. Well, think about it, folks. Like Think said, you know, digital currency is different. And I said it earlier, you cannot run in on a government, you know, roadside EV charging station and give them $2 for a couple hours of whatever, you know, juice for your car, electricity. You will have to use it, use your digital currency or your credit card. And credit cards are essentially already like that. But they are getting ready to roll this out here in the United States. The hiring of all these IRS agents and stuff, where they're being trained to train other people to monitor and implement the system. So I'm
well, that in addition to making sure that you report any transactions over $600
exactly.
via PayPal or other services too, right?
Exactly.
But, you know, and I like what you're saying too, you know, and the, you know, now that Sam Bankman-Fried has been arrested and stuff, I truly think that the result of that is going to be yet another push for regulating and controlling the digital market, as Stink was talking about, and usher that in as well, so that can even be used to restrict your purchases. Or if not completely restrict them, then guess what? You want to go to the store and you want to buy a steak or some ground beef, and you've already exceeded your social credit score. Well, if they don't, you know, stop you from being able to purchase it altogether, you're going to pay an extra dollar more a pound than somebody else. And so they're going to, you know, it's more advantageous. And then, of course, that extra dollar is probably going to be like some government fee, you know, another way for the government to gain revenue. So you can just see, like, the implementation of this just, you know, being to the advantage of the government coffers and then to the detriment of we the people.
The question that I have about this whole green policy, like, I actually don't mind giving extra money if that money was going to help the planet, really help the planet or really help somebody. I don't mind that. But I don't believe that's what they're doing. I don't believe that the world is being taxed as carbon credit tax for them to take this money and to use it to do something. I think that the elites, I don't know who these people are, but these elites, these globalists are taking that money and pocketing it. I don't see, like, when you give a Nobel Peace Prize to Greta Thorn, I forgot her name, Greta, that young girl that's on there just complaining. She does a speech and complains about how adults is killing the planet and they're, is taking away her future. They gave her a Nobel Peace Prize, which is like $10 million or something like that. It's $10 million. But they didn't give it to these college students that built this machine that took human waste and turned it to drinking water and fertilizer. Those people should have used that Nobel Peace Prize because that could have funded their project to help these poor countries like India, Mexico, where there's E. coli in their drinking water because they don't have a proper sewage system. These kids actually developed this machine that takes human waste and turn it to drinking water and fertilizer. But they didn't give that the Nobel Peace Prize to those kids. They gave it to this girl that complained about adults. Anybody can complain. Anybody. I can sit on here and complain about anything. But should I deserve a Nobel Peace Prize for complaining? No. That Nobel Peace Prize should have went to there. And basically what I'm trying to say is it seems like they're trying to make it seem that that there is this big problem and that the only solution is to pay more tax. That's how I see it. And just that they're using these actors to promote their agenda. That's how I see it. I don't think they're actually taking this money and using it for something other than to pocket it. This whole Paris Accord is a
and
sham.
And launder.
Yeah, and launder their money, like Pelosi doing the inside trading. She didn't want people to know. She needed some way to launder all this money that she made. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I wish Trump, I don't understand why people didn't understand what Trump was doing when he took the United States out of that piece of, I'm sorry, I'm going to get mad here. But why didn't people understand that Trump did something good when he took the United States out of that Paris Accord? When all these countries started hating on Trump, that should have said something to the majority of the people that, hey, he's doing something right. Our gas prices are going down. Why is we've been paying damn near $5 for the longest time. Trump took it down to, I think the lowest it was ever at was $1.75 under Trump's policy. Why didn't the people understand, hey, something is good is coming out of this? It just boggled me. And it's the media. These elites, these globalists have the most powerfulest weapon ever. And you were talking about this earlier, and that's the social platform or the media, the news. They control the news. If you can control the news, you can control the narrative. But nowadays, not that many people are looking at the news anymore or watching the news or listening to the news. We of this new generation are on these social platforms, and we're not listening to these people. We're giving our own information to one another. And what are they coming after right now? They're coming after the social platforms. You mentioned it earlier. You two were banned. I've been banned. I know almost everybody I know has been banned on Facebook for speaking their mind against COVID or against Biden. I posted a picture of Biden's four mansions that Biden had, and I got banned for it on Facebook. Twitter's been doing. Thank God Elon Musk is doing something. I'm going on a rant right now, but I'm
that's okay.
Please help.
We're prone
please help
for
me
doing
out.
That very same thing. So yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I cannot argue with you on any of it. I mean, you know, we've all been there. You know, it's. You try to speak the truth and you get restricted and time and time again, just for the stupidest stuff, including, you know, when I got a 24-hour restriction on Facebook because I dared to post studies directly from the NIH, the Journal of Internal Medicine, and the CDC, against the, you know, showing that masks that everybody is wearing are ineffective against viruses. I got a 24-hour freaking, ban for that. And it's like, what? You know, I'm spreading misinformation from the very agencies that you're going to for valid information. It's just like, it was infuriating. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, so studies that are on the CDC website, on the NIH website, on the Journal of Internal Medicine, that's not legitimate information to you? You know, it's just like, it was uncanny. But of course, these were all studies that were done prior to COVID. And then all of a sudden, COVID came along, and miraculously, after the, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, after the 1 month to flatten the curve, then all of a sudden these new studies came out, you know, showing that, yes, you should wear your masks. They are effective. And like Fauci said, oh, you know, if you wear two masks, you know, then that's like double protection, you know, and his flip-flopping. You know, heaven forbid you show a video or post about, you know, what Fauci said 1 month, you know, in February, and then how he turned himself around in April when it came to wearing masks, for example. Now all of a sudden you're spreading misinformation and you're getting dinged.
You know, I don't understand why they banned me on Facebook. I only have like 200 friends on Facebook. I am not a big like influencer, and I'm just chatting with my friends. So for me to get banned, it's like, what? Why are you coming after me? Like, I only have 200 friends. Why don't you go after the big people? Like, I don't know, like a huge popular person, like an actor or something like that, even though all the actors are basically saying the same crap. But why don't you go after them with millions of followers? And why are you going after me? I only have 200 friends. I didn't understand that about Facebook. But the other thing I didn't understand was I was just reposting a video. There was this video with these doctors at some outside meeting where they were talking about hydroxychloroquine and zinc, that was the cure. If you were getting, if you were afraid of getting COVID, then just take zinc. And those that had COVID that couldn't get zinc into their bloodstream, into their zinc blocks the COVID-19 virus from replicating inside your plasma, inside your blood. So some of us don't have a proper digestive system or something like that where we can digest it small enough, the zinc particles small enough to get into our blood system. So what they use is hydroxychloroquine to push whatever zinc you have in your body into your plasma. And it was a simple cure. And it was just this video I was posting on Facebook. It was just a repost of something else. And then Facebook banned me. I think it was for like 48 hours or something like that because I reposted that video. I just don't understand it. Other than the fact that there's this hidden entity that's trying to maintain a certain narrative that people like me or anybody that discusses something else against it, they don't want it. They don't want that narrative. They want their narrative to be told. Nobody else should be able to say anything, even somebody that's unimportant, such as me, because I think I'm positive they know this. Even though someone like me with 200 friends, if we say the right words, we will plant seeds in people. And those seeds in people will grow to something, and they're going to plant more seeds in other people, and that will spark a movement. And I know they know that. That's why they're going to stop it at the roots. That's why the first time I was on your show, I talked about this. They want to stop this world from being overpopulated by pushing all this homosexual agenda in our children right now through their programming. When Scooby-Doo has Thelma that's a lesbian, you have to stop and pause and say, why are they doing that? They had a show with Thelma from Scooby-Doo basically flirting with another woman. They're pushing this gay agenda. And I'm positive that's what they're trying to do right now. They don't want anybody to say anything, to plant seeds in anybody that could go against their narrative. And that's my two cents on everything.
Well,
sorry.
Exactly. And you hit the nail on the head there because, the depopulation model is strongly, you know, it's already underway. And, you know, not only here in the United States, but worldwide, male fertility rates have reduced by 40%. 40% in the last less than 40 years. And that is the crap they're putting in our foods, the stuff you ate at school, lunches federally. I mean, this is nothing new. They've been cooking this up for a very long time. And then, you know, abortion, whether you like it or not. You think it's a human right, whatever. I'm not going to argue abortion tonight. But that is a large scale, where it's marketed, how it's offered, when it's, you know, and stuff. You're seeing it in predominantly indigenous, black, you know, immigrant, poverty-stricken areas, because in the depopulation model, they are, and I am not saying undesirable, but to the depopulation thing, they target race. And then we're all collateral damage, you know, in between, you know, anybody that's left in between. But I mean, they hardcore do that. And you, in these clinics and how, you know, the whole thing goes, but that is part of it. And AIDS, that was another one. And then the pushing of, said, you know, this gender dysphoria, this is a mental illness. You know, they say that the statistics are 8 out of 10 American publicly educated children under the age of 18 have some kind of gender dysmorphia.
The reason they do is because it's been pushed for so long. It's like, oh, you're
exactly.
not cool if you're not bisexual or gay
or
think
pansy.
That
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
you were born in the wrong sex, you know, of a body. Like, this is the new fad. This is the new cool thing. And you know, you're an outsider if you're just a normal, straight human being, you know.
Exactly.
It's just like.
And I'm going to tell you, because it's like a win-win-win situation for this depopulation model. All right, A, they're getting their agenda. These people start transitioning, and they're, you know, it will affect their fertility, you know, and or they will remove appendages that are, you know, essential to the goal of reproduction. That is a win-win for the depopulation model, because what they couldn't abort, they'll do that with. Who they couldn't kill with biological viruses, man-made viruses, and unleashed on the world, you know. And then their jab, and they're like, oh, geez, there's still some left over. Well, let's get them all to change their sexes. And you know, people, they're all laughing. The puppet masters are all laughing. And then three, you've got your pharmaceutical companies. You know, the ones that have made quadrillions of dollars, if that's even a word. It's not even a word, but it's not even a number. But, you know, trillions of dollars on addicting people to opiates. And then, you know, they're like, oh, crap, people are catching on to that and have moved on to, you know, illegally illicit fentanyl made, you know, by the CCP and shipped through Mexican cartels and a porous border. That's another problem. But you have your pharmaceutical companies going, well, damn, a healthy child isn't worth anything to us. But a child with gender dysmorphia, well, that child's worth millions of dollars in a lifetime of
dependency. Oh, yeah, if we can convince them to change their sex surgically, then boo-goo mm-hmm. bucks, man. I can, you know, afford that new yacht.
Yep. Mental health funding, social equity grants. I mean, all of this. I mean, this was that one I'm going to give. That chess player, that was a brilliant move to strike at our children, the core of humanity. This is no more perverse than a healthy child going into the doctor and going, you know, I've never really been left-handed. I only use my right hand. And, well, you know, I don't know. I think I'd look better with just a right hand, right arm, you know. So we just chop that off. Why, sure, Jimmy, no problem. I mean, that's absurd. just as absurd as this gender. And this isn't some fad. This is here to stay, and it will affect the world population. It will affect, like I was talking about earlier in the show tonight, that the structure of the family, the humanity. I mean, guys and gals, you go out to the barges, have a good old time and stuff, and you're like, eh, God damn, you're really second-guessing people. You're like, is that what I was, you know, looking for? I mean, maybe somebody's looking for somebody that, you know, it's been something else. But
Before I forget my thought, you're talking about going to the bar and stuff. Okay, so I'm single and I haven't dated in like over a decade. So my question is, you know, when you're at a bar and you're, you know, checking people out or whatever, like, what is the polite way, like, what is the social norm for asking somebody if they are straight or gay or bi or what their pronouns they identify with so that you don't offend them? Like, how do you do that in today's dating world? I'm really curious.
Well, that's what I was alluding to in a polite, you know, way. You know, I like the skirt some things. You know, folks, we are going into a little bit of an overtime. We have more content we want to share. Lorianne, contain yourself. And before we end the live broadcast, if you would like to call in and join the conversation, which you must do before the live broadcast ends, otherwise we cannot include, you know, our ability to add callers ends with that witching hour, which is in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So the call-in number is 515-602-9722. So 515-602-9722, and press number 1, and that will put your little hand up in our digital queue, and we'll bring you into the conversation. So, you know, to kind of go along with the topic, kind of the bummer topic and the agenda that discussing this censorship, this...
Do you mind if I plug my show for Sunday night while we're in the last minute and a half or so?
Before we're live. Please, yeah, please. Definitely.
Yeah, while we're still live. So everybody that's listening, please tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne show on Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. So that'd be 9 to midnight Eastern time. Dahl Arntzen, the host here, is my co-host on the Lucid Libertarian show. And I have a special guest on my show coming on, Valerie Serafin. And she has been really like on a mission to keep up to date on Oregon's Measure 114 gun control legislation and all the lawsuits that are going on, and updates and things like that. So she is a local expert on what's going on. And there's lots of news to talk about in regards to Measure 114. So make sure to stay tuned. This gun control legislation, even though it's only in Oregon, it doesn't matter where you are. You're going to want to listen. You're going to want to pay attention. Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific, Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne right here on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you, Dahl, for letting me plug my show.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. And, folks, you can find us back here next Friday night, 7 p.m. Alaska time, 8 p.m. Pacific. And I really want everybody to stay informed, and that's our primary goal. So if you would like to join the conversation, you're running out of time, 515-602-9722. We are going to go into a little bit of overtime here tonight just to continue the conversation of, you know, we've it got this discussion going on, and I hate to just drop it because there's a lot of information and people need to know about this agenda. And something that is not new, assisted suicide. And I know some people are for it, and I'm not completely against it. But it has to be, you know, the most dire, and, you know, but that's just the gateway to the permissive use of something like this. And we are seeing our neighbors north of us in Canada practicing and encouraging the use of assisted suicide with folks that are mentally ill and people with, disabilities. And that is the most perverse form of population control or depopulation agenda, I like to call it, aside from, you know, the rampant use of abortion. This is a type of genocide, and it's not targeted at just any one person. It could be anybody. And the socialists and people, I've heard so many people that go, oh, we need, you know, universal health care. This is what universal health care buys you, is this type of stuff. And I thought we'd play a quick clip by J.P. Sears. And J.P. is, as some of you know his content, he's a huge, you know, freedom fighter and has been using comedy to convey important messages. And he is awfully entertaining. I will give him that. And I know Lorianne feels the same, and many of the listeners. But, you know,
we are
each
both
one
big
of his,
J.P. Sears fans.
Yeah. Well, but he packs a lot of truth in it. And his recent clip is, his most recent clip has to do with, he calls it Canada's new healthcare plan. And this isn't something new that Canada is doing, but they're ramping it up. And they're ramping it up in the fact that they're, you know, targeting the mentally ill. And I was hoping after the clip that we can kind of talk about the ramifications of that, because who defines what we say as information or misinformation and or crazy or sane? You know, whatever you say is only a part of their narrative that's going to be accepted. So the ramifications of your words could bring huge consequences. And so I thought we'd give this a listen and see what J.P. Sears had to say about this. And then right after this clip, we'll be right back. So buckle up. This is entertaining and scary.
Thank you for waiting, eh? What seems to be the problem?
I've been depressed for a few weeks and nothing seems to help.
And where are you feeling that?
I don't know. I guess mostly my mind, kind of my body.
Which side?
Both, I guess.
And does it get worse when you bend over?
I don't think so.
Great. I just wanted to rule out a slip disc.
Why?
To make sure it's not a slip disc. But this sounds like good old-fashioned depression.
Yeah. What can we do about it?
Well, there's two options. The first is a more traditional approach, but less effective. It's where we put you on a course of antidepressants.
And what's the second option?
Assisted suicide therapy.
Sorry? You're forgiven. No, did you say assisted suicide?
Yeah.
It's where instead of addressing the symptom of depression, we take care of the root cause.
Which is?
You being alive. It's a more holistic approach.
You're talking about killing me?
No. You're completely missing the context. We're talking about killing you for your own good.
I don't want that.
You don't want what's best for you? Seems like you're going down a dangerous path of self-destruction here, mister. Look, with our Make You Not Alive Anymore medical treatment, you're guaranteed not to feel depressed any longer. It's now the recommended treatment.
No, I'll just do the antidepressant option.
Great, I'll put you down for some assisted suicide.
No, that's not what I want to do.
Oh, I thought you said yes, definitely put me down for assisted suicide.
No, I'll just do the antidepressants. I don't want to be killed. That's much worse than being depressed.
I'm glad you clarified. It's kind of a close call.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get you on your costly antidepressants, but they're not really going to work. So when they fail you, you come back in and we'll explore option two more thoroughly.
Okay. Thank you, doctor.
Hey, Clyde. What do you have going on today?
Yeah, I've got this carpal tunnel pain from being on my computer all the time. It's really bothering me. Let me take a look here. Does it hurt when I do this?
No.
This?
No.
How about this?
Not really.
Yes.
Well, this should be pretty simple to treat. What I recommend we do for your wrist is some assisted suicide.
What's that?
It's where we kill you with your consent to take care of your health problem. It's very cost effective.
Wow, that sounds drastic.
Well, your wrists do hurt, don't they?
Yeah.
So it's just what we recommend.
You know what? My wrists are feeling better all of a sudden. Wow, this is really a miracle. I don't think I'll be requiring any further treatment.
That is too bad. Are you sure?
Yeah, they feel pretty amazing now.
Well, do you want to do it anyway?
No, I love the offer, but I think I'll pass just this one time.
All right, but if they start bothering you again, come right back in.
Sure thing.
Because eventually, we're going to get you.
So yeah, I sprained my ankle pretty bad playing hockey.
Well, we all like hockey, don't we?
Yes, we certainly do.
Let me have a look at your x-ray here.
Is that a drawing of my ankle?
Yeah, it's how we do it now. X-rays are expensive, and our socialized healthcare system doesn't want to fund those, so this is the second best option.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and here's the problem here. You can see how this ligament comes down to the entanchment point of this hard thing down here?
You mean the bone?
Yeah, I think that's what they're called, and the ligament has a partial tear down there.
So is this a surgery kind of thing?
This kind of injury responds better to assisted suicide.
What? I don't want to commit suicide.
You won't have to. We'll assist you.
Why would I possibly want to do that?
Because of your ankle. I thought you said it was hurting.
Yeah, but I came in here with a sprained ankle and you're trying to talk me into dying?
Dying therapeutically.
I have a minor problem and you're trying to inflict the biggest problem imaginable on me as a solution? Why can't I just have surgery for it?
Surgery is very expensive on the healthcare system, so it turns out that just offing patients is a more cost-effective approach.
But we have socialized healthcare, which means I've paid enormous amounts of taxes into the system, and somehow the system can't afford to pay for simple care for me?
Yeah, we definitely thought socialism and healthcare would work. Weird how it's not, though.
So the government would rather put me to death instead of paying for healthcare with my own taxes that I've paid in?
Now you get it.
So you're telling me my own government would rather have me killed than spend any money on me?
The realities of socialism oddly turn out the way they always have. But for the good of the whole, of course.
This seems criminal.
Will Tuesday the 7th work for you?
For what?
Your assisted suicide treatment.
No!
How about Wednesday the 8th?
I'm not gonna do it!
Come on.
No!
But we've got quotas to fill.
Wait a minute. As a doctor, I thought you took an oath to save lives and to do no harm.
Well, yeah. But you know how this is kind of the opposite of that?
Yeah.
So that kind of makes it the same thing. Just two sides of the same coin.
That is psychotic.
So will Thursday the 9th work for you?
Okay.
Great! Just sign here.
Let me help you with that. So, you're sure that me dying is in my best interest?
I'm a doctor. Trust me.
Okay.
I trust you.
Fantastic! This is going to be so much fun. But until then, let me write you a prescription for that ankle pain to help hold you over.
You will never believe this, but I'm currently experiencing a big shadow ban by Big Tech. A lot of people who want to see my videos simply aren't seeing them. So if you're seeing this video and want to ensure that you see all my videos and stay connected with me, I'd love to have you join my email list. You can do that at awakenwithjp.com, and it ensures you and I stay connected.
Okay, and we're back. Welcome back to the Alaska Patriot Network. This is Dahl. I'm your host. We have Lori Ann with us. And that was the clip by J.P. Sears. And just that dark truth, you know, that is we were talking about earlier.
And so, you know, the thing is, it's like, you know, the thing is it's already happened. I mean, you know, I posted an article a few days ago or something, a former Olympic athlete that, you know, has like some pains or whatever. I forget the details. But her doctor offered her assisted suicide. And she's like, wait a minute, you know, like, no, you know, like, what? Like, it's one thing to legalize it, you know, like you were saying, like, it's in some cases, you know, yeah, you know, it's a death and, you know, dignity and death kind of thing where, you know, hey, you're terminal and you want to go out on your own terms or whatever, you know, you don't want to suffer through, you know, months of painful agony, you know, that's one thing. And you know that that's an option, but it's another for, you know, to have your doctor actually, you know, promote that as an option for you for something that really is totally not justified. And the fact that they've expanded it for mental illness, you know, oh, you know, you're depressed. Well, you know, do you want to off yourself? We'll help you. That, you know, there's got to be a rational line, you know, if you're going to allow such a thing like that. Otherwise, you know, otherwise this is just like you said, it's a genocide, you know, when, if doctors are being encouraged to encourage their patients, you know, by offering the assisted suicide option for just about anything they legally can, that's another story. You know, are they getting an incentive? Are these, you know, are the drugs or are the, is the equipment, you know, manufacturers or sellers, like, you know, are they incentivizing this somehow? Like, you really got to start looking into that. And that's, you know, socialized medicine. That's what, you know, apparently Canada is allowing to have happen. And it's like, yep, perfectly fine. End rant.
Well, the whole thing about it, it's alarming, but the inclusion of people that are suffering depression or mental illness, I believe that, you know, I'm not saying if you're depressed, you have lost your ability to consent, but depression has many layers and it's temporary in most cases. I'm not a doctor, but most cases it is temporary. And we move on and we get through whatever was, you know, whether it was a nutritional deficiency, a life change, whatever, you know. But it sometimes it, in the throes of that depression and or mental health crisis, I believe that we lose our ability to think clearly and to consent to that level of what they're calling care. So what I'm alluding to is that, you know, they're specifically trying to remove these people from society. It is a selective type of culling.
Absolutely it is. And then I think that, you know, I think it's kind of like a playing ground, too, to see if the U.S. is going to start supporting such a thing, you know, legislation that, you know, expands the use of it and stuff like that. Is the United States going to, you know, copy Canada in this regard? You know, is that next?
Well, if you look hard enough, you'll find pockets of insane policy. And it's something that we've discussed previously was Mayor Eric Adams in New York, right? Eric Adams, New York. Yeah. Anyway, so it instituted a policy in the city of New York that they can remove mentally ill people from the streets and against their will and put them in involuntary care. Now, traditionally, you know, that, you know, entities have been able to, you know, put people on temporary holds if they deem them a harm to themselves or others. But this no longer needs to be subjected in these decisions. And it's interesting because the policy instituted allows EMTs, police officers, other people that work for the city. So it could be the garbage man. You got a crazy one down here on 69th and Pine. Come get it. You know, it's alarming. But in their policy, there's really no definition for crazy. And some of the examples they gave was, well, if you got somebody barefoot and they're talking to themselves on the corner, then they must be crazy. And I've said before, you know, who's not to say that maybe myself or Lori Ann or one of you listeners are out addressing the public and you know, exercising your First Amendment rights, and somebody comes along and says, well, that's misinformation. That's not true. Well, that's just plain crazy. And is this a way, and now it's not assisted suicide, but it's just as the policy itself is just as dangerous. Where are these people incarcerated? For how long? And who is defining, where is the written policy that says this defines our definition of crazy? And is it the true definition of mental illness, or is it the definition of disagreement? And we've discussed on my show, your show, together on other shows, you know, internment camps being erected all over the United States, Canada, all over the world, place in China. And here we call them FEMA camps, you know. And with our tax dollars and through fear and public, you know, health crisis, safety, freakouts, with your taxpayer dollars, we help the globalists build them right here in our own country, all over the place, and in the guise of COVID isolation places. So they're already in place. So now we have the good folks of New York that, you know, hey, you stop by the corner and you say, hey, you know, F Joe Biden, let's go Brandon, you know, and whatever. And somebody goes by and goes, well, that's just crazy talk. And they come and scoop you up and you're locked up and you have no right to discourse. You have no right to do anything. You're just a crazy person and you're out of the way. And they try this kind of nonsense in different pockets of our country. And New York's a great place to do it. And it's a huge city. People disappear all the
time.
Oh,
yeah.
Where's the public record of who
was detained
and
where
they
went? Oh, yeah, and it's a major international hub. You know,
exactly.
Yeah.
So
much can go unnoticed because, you know, there's such a population. It's so much goes unnoticed.
Yeah. I mean, they can just disappear you. Go ahead, think.
It's so creepy. Yeah, it's, oh my God. It's so creepy just to think that this is even a thing. I mean, is life really not that precious anymore where this is a thing now? I don't know what's going on with this current generation, this current society right now. Me growing up, I remember Dr. Kevorkian, which was a doctor that was helping people commit suicide, but the people that he was helping commit suicide were people like older people that was going through pain. They were going to die anyway, or they just were suffering so much that they wanted to end it right there. And they agreed to that. But when you put a mentally ill person that doesn't know the difference between right or wrong or like black and white or anything like that, it just, I don't know. I always thought that depression was something that's curable.
But then the government can gain guardianship because you're incompetent, and then they can elect on your behalf the assisted suicide option. Isn't that just beautiful? You know, honestly, like it's insane.
It sounds like Nazis. I'm sorry. It sounds like Nazis speaking. Like, well, when they put the Nazis in those, the Jewish people into them bathhouses and just killed them, you know what I mean? They probably put it down. These people were mentally ill or something like that. They made some sort of problem for some sort of reason to kill these people. And is that what's going on? They're planning all this to just kill a lot of us? I mean, it seems like whatever chance they can get to kill somebody, they're going forward with it now. If this is a thing right now, I don't know what to say. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that we're even talking about this, where this is a thing, where the government is allowing assisted suicide for, like, people with depression. Isn't it? Does it sound crazy to you? It sounds crazy to me.
No, it doesn't sound crazy. I know. It's hard to discuss, you know, because when you say the words, you're like, oh, my gosh, is this really happening? Is this, you know, am I really saying this thing? And also, like I was saying with the New York policy, that is a great way to get anybody that you're in dissent with. So who's not to say the FBI doesn't report somebody and says, oh, we got to get these people off the street because, well, they're patriots. And send them for re-education. They will follow the China policy. China's been, you know, the CRT, the indoctrination starts with the loyalty and you know, whatever they want the kids to think, the next generation to think they're doing in the public schools there. They're doing it right here. COVID was a double-edged sword. It revealed a lot, though. And it revealed to parents, a lot of parents, they were, if your kid came home from school and they had great grades and they weren't causing any problems, well, everything must have been great. But they had no idea what that health class was really teaching until they got a window into their children's classrooms via stay-at-home learning, which also was a way to surveil our homes. I know there were instances where people got in trouble for not wearing a mask in their home, and I think it was New York or somewhere crazy like that. And when they were like, you got a mask in your home,
and not
too.
Allowing parents
and
to observe.
Teacher.
Like, if they saw the parents observing in the background, they would be like insisting that the parent leave the room.
Yeah, and or reporting the parent for not wearing a mask.
And this is not a race-specific thing, right? It's just anybody. They're just allowing – they're
anybody.
Not targeting us. Okay, they're not targeting.
At least that's the one thing that, you know, things aren't racist about, is they targeted anybody that, you know, wasn't complying in the background with the webcam.
Oh, my God, that's crazy. This is such a crazy thing. I seen this this clip. Do you know who Margaret Sanger is? Margaret Sanger? She's the founder,
oh, yeah. Founder of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah,
eugenics.
Planned Parenthood.
All up in eugenics.
Yeah, they had interviewed these people interviewed her great or her grandson, and they said that they came up to him and they asked him how did he feel about the Roe versus Wade being overturned, and the first thing that came out of his mouth was, what about the black women that want to commit that want abortions? Now black women can't do it. Specifically, he said black women can't do it now, and he felt sorry for black women not being allowed to have abortions. Tell me that does not sound
like that's I was saying, they targeted, you know, they targeted neighborhoods with Planned Parenthood. They built those institutions and promoted them heavily in poverty-stricken areas, black neighborhoods, immigrant neighborhoods, you know, that kind of stuff. It was in their face. It was a targeted depopulation model.
When I went to high school, I had sex education classes, and those were Planned Parenthood funded 100%. We were told that masturbation is okay. We were told that abortions were okay. In fact, it was it made it seem like if we didn't have an abortion and we had a child at our age, that we would lose our life. Our life would be over. Our career would be over. We won't be successful in life if we had a child. And I can't imagine how many people heard that and was terrified and end up having abortions. It's just, that's what we were taught in school. And to this day, I don't know if the children these days are being taught that still, but tell you, it terrified me. It terrified me. I mean, yeah, it definitely terrified me to have a child at a young age. But I got to tell you this, those friends of mine that didn't care about school and didn't pay attention to all that, that did have children, I went to college. And when I got out of college, I was living at my mom's house, you know, in the basement. But those friends of mine that had children and then left school and went to work, they had houses. They had cars. They didn't go the route of college. They went the regular route, and they were still successful. So just having a child, if anyone's listening, I mean, if you have a child, no matter what age, it doesn't mean your career is over. Your life is over. It just means a different path you take. That's it. You're not a failure or anything. It's just a different path. Like my friends that kept going, I think.
Yeah, and that path will be more challenging because, let's face it, parenthood is challenging. But it's not undoable because guess what? You know, it's been done generation after generation after generation. You know, a lot of people had children at young ages and were perfectly successful in life. And that it's no different now than it was like 100 years ago, you know, it's just, as a matter of fact, over 100 years ago, it was a good thing to have more kids because it was more kids to help around the farm and do chores and, you know, have heirs and earn income and be successful and, you know, help out the family. Like it was even advantageous, you know, back in history to have more kids. And now everybody is under the assumption that, you know, your life is ruined. If you have a kid at, you know, 18, 19, 20, your life is going to be ruined. And that's not the case.
No, that's definitely not the case. I feel that when you have a child, your mind starts thinking clearly. All that nonsense, you kind of can differentiate. Hey, this I cannot do. I have to do this to feed my child. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to be serious. And I think a child does that to someone. It just makes people more serious, you know, more down to earth. basically, it makes someone grow up, become an adult. You know, it teaches them responsibility. I don't think having a child is a bad thing. It's just ridiculous that these things,
that,
it just seems.
When ahead, I said sorry. There's a war against the family unit and the idealism of having children and normalcy, that threatens this agenda. And that's exactly what you're talking about. Strong, independent people that are able to problem solve and think for themselves are a threat to this agenda. You
right.
Nailed
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. That's exactly it. They don't want free thinking. I'm going to go a little bit on a tangent here, but there's this show on Netflix called Ancient Apocalypse. And it's about this guy that says that people lived during the Ice Age, and there were civilizations way before the Ice Age shrank the water, right? And then there was more land because the water receded. And there were civilizations that were really advanced back then is what the guy was saying. And they had technology that we don't understand, like building pyramids and things like that. And so he was saying that it was 10,000 years ago, over 100,000 years ago. And all these scientists and people are trying to get the show off of Netflix. Why? Because that show makes people think freely is the reason why they want to that show off. Not because he's saying
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. Like, I forget the name of it, but I'm subscribed to articles from this particular website that's, like, all about this stuff. And, like, finding stuff under Antarctica, finding a pyramid deep, like way deep, deep under the ice and stuff, showing signs of like a pyramid, signs of like a civilization. And like that's literally been found, but they're not, you know, the mainstream media is never going to report on it. It's going to be considered like, oh yeah, right, you know, that kind of thing because, you know, it's going to be slanted to be just, you know, far-fetched, but it's like, no, these are like researchers and scientists that have like studying that area for years, you know, that are finding this shit, you know. Like, why would they lie, you know?
Yeah, they definitely don't want us to be free thinking. They don't want the next generation to think for themselves. They don't want us to think for ourselves. They just want this one narrative, and they want everyone to agree with that narrative. I mean, it's obvious, right? That's what they're trying to do. That's why they're stopping social media. That's why almost all the channels on TV have one narrative where they're speaking the same words. You know, during COVID, there was this kid that was 18 years old, and I was in his place of work, and we were talking about the mask, and he said this to me, and I knew right then, this kid is 100% programmed, and he said this word to me, it's a bunch of malarkey. And when I heard that, I was like, what kid at 18 years old uses the word malarkey? I've never heard that.
Have I you know, right?
Yeah.
Like, but I did hear it on the news. Some politician, I think, or something called it malarkey. I think it might have been Biden even. And then all of a sudden you get this kid that would never, ever normally say that word, probably never even heard it before, suddenly saying it.
That's right. That's right. I could tell he was programmed. And he's just an example of many people. It's just so many people are so tuned into this programming that it's – are we lost? Is that what it is? Well, when they have programs like this assisted suicide, I mean, it's going, oh my God. I'm sorry. It's such stuff like this. It just seems like humanity is at this point where it doesn't matter. Like life doesn't matter anymore. You know, where an individual doesn't matter. That's how it's
yeah,
getting to that point.
The constant devaluing of life, you know, that's the real agenda. Because if you're going to have a quelling, if you're going to reduce the population, according to like what the blown up Georgia Guidestone says, population of 500 million globally, if you're going to do that, then it all starts with systematically devaluing life on just about every level. And, you know, that's where even transhumanism comes in. And, you know, when you have, you know, Klaus Schwab's right hand doing a speech, which I know I have it as a clip, that I could play on my show, literally talking about modifying DNA, about incorporating AI into our brains via brain chips and stuff, transhumanism, designer babies, the development of external wombs so that, you know, you can literally fertilize sperm and egg in a petri dish, and then you have an artificial womb. From fertilization to mature enough to live outside of the artificial womb, you can't even call it birth because it's not birth. If it's artificial from beginning to, you know, okay, fine, now we finally open up the lid and take this baby out, you can't even call it birth. What do you call that? You can't have a birth certificate if you were born, you know, if you were conceived in a petri dish and you grew up in an artificial womb. And then finally, when you were mature enough, they lift the lid and you're out of this artificial womb and you breathe and all that. Like, what do you call it? What term is there for that? Because you can't call it birth.
Well, you know, I have to say real quick, you know, I got to remind everybody of Executive Order 14081. And I know we've talked about that here on the show, but that was Biden back in September, fast-tracking an advanced biotechnology and biomanufacturing innovation for a sustainable, safe, and secure American bioeconomy. It talks about fast-tracking AI, integration with humans, transhumanism, what they are calling vaccine technology, mRNA, you name it, integration. And they are talking, they want to fast track it. And he made an executive order, and that is, you can go up, it's in the Federal Register, of course. And like I said, it's Executive Order 14081. It's a long read, but don't read it before bed because it'll scare the shit out of you. Go ahead, think.
I'm going to try and play devil's advocate here, but I just want to see if you know, there's some reason to, there's some rhyme and reason to this type of thinking. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Is it evolution? Is this the next form of evolution? Is that what they're trying to accomplish? Is that the natural progress as humanity now where we are doing this?
No, it's not the natural progress at all.
Okay.
It's artificially created evolution. That's the difference. DNA modification, designer babies, transhumanism, breeding AIs, little freaking nanobots, you know, making us part human, part whatever, integrated with technology and stuff like that, where birth isn't really even birth anymore. All of that stuff is just not natural. That is not natural evolution. That is manipulating and creating, manufacturing evolution to meet an agenda. That's my 2 cents.
Wow. I'm just wondering what kind of life would happen if that were to become. I mean, well, what kind of world would it be where it's a bunch of cyborgs, I guess, walking around? I don't understand why they would do something like that. You know, I have to think more about this, but it's, yeah. I'm sorry.
Look to Hollywood. Hollywood has given us glimpses with that. Just look at the Hunger Games. We're getting glimpses of like what this potential future is likely to be. And then what's the other ones? Of course, Matrix. And then, so many others that are literally telling us what the future is going to be. Elysium. There was that one with Tom Cruise. Was that it? And Morgan Freeman in it. I'm forgetting the name of it right now.
The Butterfly Effect
had Ashton Kutcher in it. There's so many movies that have told us like this future. Sometimes it's Hollywood promoting it and normalizing it, and sometimes it's Hollywood actually warning us. That's the future we're going to be like.
mRNA is the gateway to this. And I said before that COVID was a bioterror weapon, but kill shot was literally the jab, and that was their end game. That they needed people to be just like the Patriot Act. They needed to induce fear to get people to bend to their whim and allow this into their bodies. And that's why I was saying, and this sounds a little bit crazy to me right now, but I hope to God I'm wrong, that this isn't going to be commonplace. Like, we'll be like, yeah, we told you so. This is already happening. But people saying, yeah, I'm a pureblood. I'm unvaccinated and proud and having it on their badges on social media and stuff. And or... buying into like a membership with a clearinghouse that promises pure blood in exchange, give your blood to this blood bank and then you're on this registry. And whenever the One World Order or the bad guys or whoever it is, they're looking for genetic cloning material, organ harvest, having babies. Making you talk about The Handmaid's Tale or something nuts like that. I mean, I'm just hypothesizing here. But we had talked about this on the show about a month back about the market for blood and pure blood. My goodness, like right day or the next day, there was all kinds of articles that had come out and pertaining to that. And I believe I still have, and it's not a very long clip, and it really lays out this market for pure blood in the plasma markets. And America is, I think, one of the primary exporters of blood and plasma in the world. In fact, it actually is not a huge percent of our export income, but it is a sizable amount of it. So, and this is a clip from Next News, and it's demand for pure blood skyrockets globally as critics dismiss fears of tainted blood. So here we go here.
I knew this moment would come, the demand for what some refer to as pure blood. And now within 18 nations, pure blood banks have been established. Meanwhile, critics are dismissing people's desire for safe and clean blood transfusions following the rollout of government-mandated shots and boosters worldwide. This is one report you will not see anywhere else. I'm Gary Franchi. You want the top news every day? Hit subscribe and turn on your notifications. The last several years were very difficult for everyone. At the onset of the pandemic, many of us had no idea what to do. Fear gripped the world. The fear was driven by the constant flip-flopping of government doctors like Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx. We were told to trust the science as thousands of scientists and doctors worldwide were silenced. We were told it would only take 15 days to flatten the curve, then 15 days turned into years. Then the super safe jab was rolled out. We were told that if we ever wanted to see our loved ones again, we'd need to take the emergency authorized experimental medicine. Mandates were rolled out. Governments and corporations demanded that you participate in the experiment if you wanted to keep your job. And sadly, many people decided that was their only option. This triggered a rift in society between those who submitted to the mandates and social pressure and those who felt that the my body, my choice was the only path forward. Well, now we're seeing another transformational rift occur in the medical community when it comes to blood transfusions. Those who stood on the side of my body, my choice are now demanding that their blood never be tainted by those who submitted to the mandates. And right on cue, their valid concerns are being dismissed by the same people who pushed the mandates. Tim Hume, one of the dismissive voices at Vice, reports that several major blood collectors, including the American Red Cross, claim that people who have taken the jab can transfuse their blood safely, and that even though the jab aims to stimulate the immune system, the components in the jab themselves are not present in the bloodstream. Despite this, Swiss naturopath George Della Petra claims people are worried about the new jab technology, which has created a demand for so-called safe blood. In response, the Swiss naturopath has founded a place where concerned individuals can locate the so-called pure blood. It's called Safe Blood Donation. And Della Petra considers the global mandate campaigns to be the crime of the century, and that the jab affects the blood and the immune system. Thus, unjabbed people desire to receive transfusions of blood supplied by other unjabbed people. He told Hume at Vice World News he gets hundreds of emails from patients due for surgery asking, do you have blood available? He went on to tell Hume of his Safe Blood Donation campaign, quote, we want to be a platform for people who want to have the free choice of blood donors, whether they think there's a real conspiracy theory going on, that the New World Order is happening, or if they simply say, I just don't want it for whatever reason. Vice World News notes that eventually Safe Blood Donation, which has members in at least 16 countries, plans to open blood banks that provide unjabbed plasma to its members. However, the group's initial goal is to pressure hospitals to permit so-called direct donations or of safe blood, whereby recipients can nominate non-jab donors to provide blood directly to them. Vice further notes that medical authorities only allow directed blood donations when medically necessary, such as when sourcing a rare blood type, but refuse growing requests for so-called safe blood. Hume at Vice states, as far as the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is concerned, there is no evidence that transfusions of blood from people who have had the jab pose a higher risk to adverse events. Vice continues that ultimately, if safe blood donation is successful in forcing changes to the existing blood donation regime, it hopes to establish a new global infrastructure for providing pure blood. In this scenario, people would be able to source doctors from national databases, donate and receive blood through affiliated clinics, and store blood physically in blood banks for non-jab people. Members of Safe Blood Donation are writing to medical authorities to ask them to change their policies on directed blood donations. In addition, the group encourages its members to write living wills, stating that they do not wish to receive blood transfusions from the general supply, naming non-jabbed individuals as direct donors instead, and they're threatening to sue hospitals if they do not. Nonetheless, medical experts consulted by Vice World News said that those efforts were unlikely to succeed. In recent years, there has been a rise in requests for non-jab blood from concerned patients. However, such requests are being rejected. The true heroes among us are the people who have endured to the end, the unjabbed. They have had to face the greatest pressure imaginable from partners, parents, children, friends, colleagues, and even doctors. But they stayed strong and kept their critical thinking intact. They are courageous individuals who know exactly what they stand for and won't settle for anything less. Despite differences in age, education, background, beliefs, or social status, these special people exist everywhere in our world. They're beyond being just above average members of society. Rather, they are the kings and queens of culture building and conquering. Every army of light aspires to have soldiers with such qualities. Every child yearns for parents like this, and each parent aims to build such moral values in their children. Clearly, anybody can see why people like them should be commended with the highest regards. You are the victors who did not succumb to hatred and discrimination. You were the bold ones who had the courage to take on a path many would never attempt. Even when you had no money and your career suffered, you continued down this risky road. You chose to ignore all those who threw insults your way as your wisdom prevailed. Now stand proud, knowing you accomplished what many said you could not do, proving that they were wrong while you stood tall and secure in the knowledge that you defied convention, accomplished something huge, and succeeded where others submitted. It was despite discrimination, betrayal, and humiliation that you emerged with pure blood. No one has ever seen a casting of such diversity in all of history. Men, women, young, old, rich, and poor, free and slave. Everyone was welcome to try. Despite obstacles that rendered even the toughest Marine commandos, Green Berets, astronauts, and geniuses unable to pass the test, you have won. Make your voice heard. You have won against all odds. Let's continue the conversation in the comments below for the next News Network. I'm Gary Franchi.
All right, so that's Gary Franchi.
I do say, like, yeah. I know that you want to have people, like, refrain from it, but I'm pure blood. I have not,
don't say you're pure blood, but we may get to a juncture where it puts you at risk by
even in my job search, my job shirts, I'm pretty sure that, you know, they look at Facebook posts. It's not hard to see that I'm Lucid Libertarian, and it's not hard to see that in my post I tend to be very anti-getting the clot shot.
Exactly.
And that explains why I don't get responses back, because, you know, I'm not politically correct enough for them.
Yeah, no, but stand proud, but be aware of what this agenda is, that this isn't, this agenda is huge. And sadly, we are just at about the point where our broadcasting ends, whether we like it or not. And with that said, Lorianne, why don't you go ahead and plug your show again? You do have a special guest and ballot measure 114. I wanted to touch base on that. That was in our show notes, and we didn't even get to that. But
I know, there's always so much. And even on my show, I already have so much already planned. But
exactly.
This is Libertarian with Lorianne. Special guest Valerie Serafin. She is a local gal that has been posting updates on the, I think, 5 different lawsuits against Measure 114, different portions of it, the gun control legislation, the most strict of all of the states, that was only passed by 0.7%. So about 25,000 votes out of, you know, a lot. it's such a minimal passage. And so she is going to be on the show and talking about that, because she's been so great. I asked her to come on the show because she's been so great about posting updates. And I listened to the court hearing for the judge that put a temporary hold on the whole measure. And Tuesday there was a hearing, and it was all day, and I listened to it, and she did a great write-up on the summary of what transpired after a full 8 hours of court hearing. And so, yeah, so I'm really excited to have her on. She's going to be great. We're going to have a really good in-depth conversation about Measure 114 and everything that's going on. And then Dahl, of course, you're going to be there. You're going to be having my back. I think that you and Valerie are going to get along great. And so I just think it's going to be an awesome show. So, you know, out there that are listening to the recording, please tune in on Sunday night for Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time, 9 to midnight Eastern time. It's going to be a great show. And Dahl is going to be there too.
Yes, I will be. I will be there with bells on. Yes, and Measure 114, although it is an Oregon ballot measure, it is something, it's one of these things that they're rolling out in little pockets of our country and trying them out. And it is a egregious overreach of it attacks your Second Amendment rights. And Oregonians are fighting it. How it passed, we'll never know. I don't quite trust those electoral systems anyways. And, so with that said, tune in next Friday night to the Alaska Patriot Network. And Lorianne will be here with me, and we'll be entertaining you on a Friday night.
It'll be the Friday before Christmas.
Yes.
It'll be the eve of Christmas Eve.
Yeah. We will be following this Twitter stuff, and not only Twitter, but the implications of the government interfering with, you know, our free speech, following up as well as other current events and muckery by the One World Order. But I want to thank you all for tuning in and listening tonight. I want to thank our caller and everybody that joined us in chat. If you were unable to catch this whole broadcast, you can always, listen to all of our episodes at Blog Talk Radio and or, you know, when we post a social media link, you can click on that link and listen to the show at your leisure. So with that said, Lorianne, thank you so very much for joining me tonight. It was a great show.
Oh,
and I think we should.
Always my pleasure. I love you. I missed you last week. And also shout out to Think for Yourself. You're more than welcome to call in. You're a great caller, so shout out to you.
Dahl,
I always love being on with you. It's like it feels like a Friday night, you know, like last week you weren't on and it didn't feel like a Friday night, but tonight feels like a Friday night because I've been on with you, so I love it.
Yes,
cool. Thank
all
you.
Right, well, thank you. Yes, thank you so much for calling in. You know, listener and participation is critical in talk radio, and I appreciate your thoughtful commentary and ideas and, you know, thoughts on everything, as well as everybody else that, you know, participates when they do. So with that said, we're about to get cut off, everybody. So thank you. God bless. And this is the Alaska Patriot Network, and we're signing out. We'll be back next Friday night. Don't forget to tune in. God bless.